Nothing is more important than your soul being secure in the everlasting hands of Jesus Christ, purchased, bought by the blood of God's Son. Think about that. Talk about a contract written in blood, bought by the blood of God's Son. That's my soul is bought by the blood of Jesus Christ. Anyone else like that? You know, what a wonderful, wonderful promise. What a wonderful, wonderful thing to think about is nothing can wash away the blood. And I don't know why, but there's a song that reminded me just now. And I don't know, remember the song. I just remember what it was about. And it was about a little Hebrew boy on the day of Passover. And the Hebrew boy was asking his father about why we put in the blood on the doorposts. And the father said that that blood is going to protect us, and that blood is going to keep us saved from the evils. And then it was a storm outside, and it was raining, and the little boy kept going to the father and said, "Is the blood still there? Is the blood still there?" And the father would say, "Don't worry, son, the blood is still there. The blood is still there." And it was a great old song. I haven't heard it in 20 years or so, but I got to find it again. But it was, "The blood is still there." Amen. Nothing can wash away the blood of Jesus Christ. Isn't that a wonderful thing? Isn't that a great thing to know that your salvation is sure, that your salvation is secure, that your salvation is real? And that's what it's all about being real, having the real spirit of the living God inside of each and every believer. Amen. I hope and pray that you've had some fellowship with the Lord this week. I hope and pray that this isn't the only time you get to read your Bible or anything like that. But I would like to start with Sunday school with reading our Bibles. Amen. Can we do that? What I'm going to do is prayer. I want you to take your Bibles, please, and open up. The first verse I want you to see is in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 in verse 17 when you get there. 1 Thessalonians 5:17 is the reason that we're going to start off this way. Say amen when you get there, please. It's only a couple. Very short verse. But look what it says. Everybody there? 1 Thessalonians 17? What's it say? You ready, everybody? Ready? One more time. What's it say?
Pray without ceasing.
Amen. It's pretty simple, isn't it? God is commanding us to pray without stopping. Just keep praying. Just keep on praying. Doesn't matter. And that's what I want to talk to us about for the next couple of weeks, because there's many facets of prayer. There's many aspects of prayer. Prayer can be simple, but yet complicated. Prayer can be complicated, but yet simple. So I want to just bring up a lot of information to the church today and for the next couple of weeks about prayer, because it's important. It's one of those things that's going to be with you forever. Forever and ever until the day you won't have to pray this way. You'll be able to pray face to face, talking to him, and you're going to see him. But our prayer life is, you know, not, you can't always read your Bible. My mother's in the hospital right now, and she can't read, and there's many other women and men, and as they get older and their eyesight goes, and they can't read. And there's people that are just, you know, bedridden, sick, whatever it is, they can't read. There's people in prisons that don't have anything to read. There's people that are, you know, in over in the wars in Afghanistan and over to other places, and they can't read. But what they all can do, and they all have in common, is they can all pray. And so prayer will never be taken from you. They could try to take your Bibles from you, and they've done that in the past in different regimes. They definitely want to take your Bible from you. Your Bible and your guns, they're afraid of. They're very afraid of people with Bibles. And that's the sword of the Lord. That's a powerful weapon. That's a powerful weapon. And they're afraid of people with guns as well, because then they don't have control over you. And amen. So it's all about control. But what we should be controlled with is with the Holy Spirit. The Spirit of God should control our lives and our hearts. Amen. And it says here, as we look, it says, pray without ceasing. That means always pray. Look in 1 Timothy chapter 2. Let's go ahead a little bit. And a couple pages over, amen. And you'll see in 1 Timothy chapter 2, it also says this in verse 8, if you'll look with me, it says, 1 Timothy 2:8 says, "I will therefore that men pray everywhere, lifting up holy hands without wrath and doubting." God's will is that we would pray everywhere, not only pray without ceasing, but pray everywhere. Everywhere pray. That means in school, pray. Kids, if you belong to a public school, do not let anyone tell you you can't pray. Matter of fact, you ought to get together and find some other believers and get in a circle and pray, and let them hear you pray. Let them hear you pray in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen? Let them see. And they might say, "Oh, you can't do that." And you say, "Try to stop me." Amen? Try to stop me. Amen? And you just pray everywhere. Matter of fact, why don't you pray and do what the Bible says? Lift up your hands and pray. Say, "Lord Jesus." And start praying, amen, with powerful, passionate prayer. You ought to do that. I think we all ought to do that. And I know you say, people think you're crazy. Well, the Bible commands us to be a little crazy, amen? The Bible says that we're supposed to be peculiar people unto the Lord. Look in 1 Peter. Look in 1 Peter. Just keep going to the right. 1 Peter chapter 5. Amen. Say amen when you get there. There's two. 1 Peter chapter 5. Are you there? It says, casting all your care upon him, for he cares for you. Cast all your care upon him, for he cares very much for you. That means I was actually speaking with the owner of the property. We always have good talks when we talk. And this time we had a talk about prayer. And we had a good long talk about prayer, Jane, and it was good. Everywhere I turned, it was all about prayer, prayer. Even this morning when I was ironing this shirt, the songs that would come on, every song was about prayer. And I was like, I just knew that God was in this and he wanted us to know a little bit more about praying, but he wants us to pray. Please listen to me when I say it. I don't care how many verses I quote and how many things I show you. Until you get this through your head or in your heart, you have to pray. And I mean every day. I mean always. I mean all the time, everywhere. Pray, pray, pray. You should be prayer warriors. Amen? We should be able to get a prayer through when needed. But it says, casting all your care upon him. So how much does it say? According to the word of God, we're supposed to pray without stopping. We're supposed to pray everywhere. And we're supposed to pray about all things. Pray about all things. I was talking to this person and they said, well, I don't pray for myself. I feel as though that's asking too much of God. I said, well, God says, no, you better pray for yourself. And he says, well, I don't ask God for a lot of things because, you know, he's busy. I said, yeah, that's a good, I like that he is busy, but he commands you to pray. He commands it from you to pray. He wants to hear from you. And he says, not only pray all the time, but he doesn't say pray everywhere, but he says pray about everything. Cast all your cares upon him. Anybody got any cares today? Amen. Even if you were the most healthiest, wealthiest, wisest, everything going just your way. One of them, even if you hit the $700-900 million lottery, I don't care what it is. Whatever it is, you couldn't think of one thing bad in your life. If you're a Christian today, you should have a passion in your heart. You should have a desire in your heart to see others saved. You should have a burden for souls on your heart, weighing so heavily that is all you care about, is the people you love going to heaven. Amen? And so you should be casting that care. Wives, pray for your husbands. Husbands, pray for your wives. Parents, pray for your children. Children, pray for your parents. And pray for everything. Amen? With that said, I want you to turn with me, please, to Matthew chapter 6. Matthew. Book of Matthew chapter 6. I don't think there's anything more important right now in our time, in our life. You know, I personally try to devote myself to prayer and Bible reading and Bible studying because that's what my job is, to feed the flock, to bring the messages out. That's what I have to do 4 times a week. But in all reality, I think I need prayer more than anything else. I don't think I can ever even get a hold of God to hear from God without prayer. Prayer is the most important thing in my life. And it is in your life as well. And so therefore, we need to take it up a couple notches and understand and let it get in our hearts how important our prayers are and how important we need to make time. Because I don't know about you, but the devil seems to always take our time away. We don't have enough time to pray properly. Isn't it true? Well, you know, that's what the devil does, but don't let him fool you. You always have time to pray. Matthew chapter 6, are you there? Look at me if you would, in starting in verse 5. Matthew 6, verse 5, are you there? It says, and when thou prayest, thou shalt not be as the hypocrites are. For they love to pray standing in the synagogues and in the corners of the streets, that they may be seen of men. Verily I say unto you, they have the reward. I just want you to notice two things in here. It says, when you pray. So he's expecting you to pray. He's expecting there to be times for you to pray. But he says, don't be as the hypocrites are. So that means that there are people that are out there praying, have a great prayer life, but yet they're hypocrites. So think about it. Just because you're talking to God, just because you're kneeling before God, just because you have some time you spent alone or even together, maybe you're the one that always prays in crowds, I don't know. But all I'm saying is just because you're praying doesn't mean that that's a good thing for you and God. It says you can be, the hypocrites pray too. And God doesn't say that, he doesn't say that they're evil, they're wrong. He just says they have the reward. What was the reward? What they wanted? They wanted to be seen of people and they wanted people to think that they're spiritual. But I don't care what, and honestly, I don't care what people think. I care what he thinks. I care what God thinks, because in all reality, the people everyone in the world doesn't give me the things I need. He does. Amen. And so therefore, keep reading. It says in verse 6, but when thou prayest, when you pray, enter into your closet. And when thou hast shut the door, pray to thy Father, which is in secret. And thy Father, which seeth in secret, shall reward thee openly. Turn me down, please. But when you pray, use not vain repetitions as the heathen do, for they think that they shall be heard for their much speaking. What he's talking about right there is very plain and simple. When I was Catholic my whole life, all I did was repeat prayers that they told me to repeat. And I repeated them and repeated them. And guess what? We'd go to church. And we would all repeat them. And everybody in the church would stand and we'd all say the same things. I didn't turn my phone off, so if you want to know what I'm doing. If you have your phone, make sure you turn it all the way down or off or something. But I used to say the same to Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth. You know, O Mother Mary of God, whatever you're, you know, all this stuff. And I would just, and all over the world, think about all the millions of people that are all saying it and chanting it together. And he says that, look what he says, when you pray, verse 7, use not vain, means empty, means meaningless, repetitions as the heathen do. For they think that they shall be heard for their much speaking, but be not ye therefore like unto them. For your Father knoweth what things you have need of, look what he says, before you ask them. This is where I want you to understand. Prayer is simple, but it's complex. Prayer is there's aspects of prayer, many, many aspects of prayer, and it all comes down to our hearts. It comes down to what we believe. It comes down to our faith. It comes down to the commandments of God. It comes down to a bunch of different things, and that's what we're going to see. I want you to keep reading though, if you would, please. Look in verse 9. It says, "After this manner, therefore, pray ye." And he says, Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. And it says, For if ye forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. Now, to stop. He just told us, here's a really good prayer to pray after. And he says, forgive us. But then right there he says, if you don't forgive others, he's not going to hear that prayer. He says, if you don't forgive others, that you can say, forgive us all you want, and you can quote those prayers all you want, and he's not going to forgive you. Because, see, there's many aspects. You can't just take one little slice and say, pray always. Okay. You can't take one little slice and say, pray without ceasing, pray everywhere, cast all your cares. Okay. Pray like this. You can't just stop there. It grows, and it grows. Because the more information that we learn, the more that we find out exactly what prayer is. That's what John the Baptist, he taught his people to pray. And then they said to Jesus, teach us to pray. And he said, okay. He says, when you pray, say it like this. And then he goes on and says, but if you will not forgive men their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses. Look in verse 16. Moreover, when you fast, be not as the hypocrites of a sad countenance, for they disfigure their faces, and that they may appear unto men to fast. Verily, I say unto you, they have the reward. But thou, when thou fast, anoint your head and wash your face, that thou appear not unto men to fast, but unto thy Father, which is in secret. And thy Father, which seeth in secret, shall reward thee openly. Lay not treasures for yourselves upon the earth, where moth and rust does corrupt, and where thieves break through and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasures where? See, that's where, oh, I didn't even know he's in the room. Aw, he said, no, don't be sorry. He can hang up here with me. He can sit right there. Little Jethro. It's cool. I'm glad you brought him back, Rich. It says that where your treasure is, there is your heart be. My heart, your heart should be in prayer. Your heart should be in heaven. Your heart should be where God is. Amen? And where is God? See, in heaven. Our Father, which art in, where is Jesus Christ? Seated at the right hand of God in heaven. So we need to understand that our prayers have to be and should be spiritual heavenly prayers. Look, if you would, look in verse, let me see, go down to 18. Or did I read this yet? Yes. Go down to 24. It says, no man can serve two masters. He will either hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve two masters. Shoot down to 33. That's what I want you to see. Verse 33 says, but seek ye first the kingdom of God. That kingdom is a spiritual kingdom. That kingdom is the kingdom of God. And it says, our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy what? Kingdom come. And that's what we need to ask every day for God's kingdom to come into us. For God, for us to walk in his kingdom, for his will to be done, for it be his way to be done. I think that would be a great way to start our prayers off with just praise and glory and give it all honor due unto him. And then just ask him that his will would be done in our lives. If you ask God that his will would be done, and you continually ask him that, I guarantee you some things will take place. It says, but seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. What things is he talking about? Things that he knows that you have need of. He knows that you have need of. Prayer is a communication. Prayer is a communion with God. Prayer is a communication with God. And in communication, there's communion, that you are in communion, in union with God. Please think about that. Prayer is communion. Communion is a union where you're together with God. It doesn't happen. I mean, seriously, think about our prayer lives. It isn't like you can just be busy, 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 all of a sudden stop, drop, and pray, and everything's right inside of us for our hearts to be right, for our prayers to get through. It doesn't work that way. That's why God gave us in Ephesians the whole armor of God. He said, put on the whole armor, right? What did he say? He said, gird your loins about with truth. Put on the breastplate of righteousness. Shod your feet with the preparation. The preparation, be prepared to give the gospel out. The preparation of the gospel of peace. He said, the helmet of salvation. The shield of faith. Right? And the sword of the word of God. And then what does he do? He says, get on your knees and start praying then. Because the truth of the matter is our prayer life is the most important thing in our life. And yet we treat it very, very nonchalantly. We all do. I do. And that's why this message is for all for me, so that I can be a prayer warrior. I want to be a great prayer warrior. I want my prayers to be heard. I want when that man right there said, I need healing. I want people to lay hands on me, stuff like that. I want my prayers to, I want to heal people. Amen. I want people to be healed of many things. Marriages healed. Relationships healed, sicknesses healed, diseases healed. I want, you know what I mean? I want power in my prayer. I don't want to just, you know what I mean? I'm tired of this same old rinky-dink kind of, well, I prayed and we'll just sit around and hope it happens. No, I want to get a hold of God and know it's going to happen, not hope it happens, Rich. I want to be a man of faith that when I step out on the boat of faith, I know I'm walking on the water. The power, would you say power what? Yeah, there's power in the blood, there's power in the prayer, there's power. And the thing is what happens is we come to God and it's a union. So how do you get in communion with God in prayer? How do you get in union with God? It takes time to get your mind right. It takes time to get your heart right. It takes time to get your spirit right, doesn't it? It takes time. And so I'm here to tell you, that's why David, he prayed in the morning, in the afternoon, and at night. He had set time. And we need to set some time away. I want you to turn with me, if you would, please, to Psalm chapter 80. Psalm 80. God doesn't always hear our prayers. He said, when you fast, He said, when you fast, do this. He said, when you pray, make sure you forgive. So there's always, like I said, prayer sounds so simple. You just talk to God. But when you get into it, it's very complex. Because what good is praying if you're not going to get heard, right? What good is praying if you're not going to get answered? And that's the whole thing is, I know God can do it. We got to get a hold of God. In Psalm 80, are you there? Look in verse 4 with me. It says, oh Lord God of hosts, how long will you be angry against the prayer of thy people? God can be angry with certain people's prayers. I didn't understand that at first. God can be angry with your prayers. Why would he be angry with prayers? Turn to Isaiah 58 and I'll show you. Isaiah chapter 58. God tells us to pray. Someone say amen.
Amen.
And you pray, right? Say amen if you pray. But God also tells us how we ought to pray. He also tells us why we ought to pray. He also tells us what we ought to pray for. And he also just told us, we just read it, when you pray, don't be as the heathen. When you pray, don't be as a hypocrite. When you pray, forgive. So there's a lot of when you pray, do this. See, that's where God wants it this way, so that we work at it. Because prayer is work, if you ask me. How many people honestly find it hard to pray? Come on, I want to hear from you. See, if you don't find it hard to pray, then you're just talking. Because I find it hard. It's work to get my mind and my heart and my spirit right, to know that I'm right with things. It's work. It's serious. You got to get things out of your mind, and you got to get a hold of God. It's work, and therefore that's why it's hard. It's why so many reasons we don't do it as much, because it's not easy. It's not like, hey God, how you doing? Listen to me. I love you. All right, see you later on. You know, I'm just saying it's not that's easy. God's looking at us, going, really? You call that prayer? And so he says here to the people of Israel. He says in chapter 58, look in verse 1 with me. We'll read down to verse 9. It says, cry aloud, spare not, lift up thy voice like a trumpet. He's telling the preacher to show my people their transgression and the house of Jacob their sins. Look at it says, yet they seek me daily. That's a good thing. Every day they're looking for God. It says, yet they seek me daily and delight to know my ways. Please look at that. He says, they seek me daily and they want to know my ways. Sounds like me. And it says, look what it says. As a nation that did righteousness and forsook not the ordinances of their God. Read it one more time. Yet they seek me daily and delight to know my ways. As a nation that did righteousness and forsook not the ordinances of their God. They ask of me the ordinances of justice. They take delight in approaching to God. All that sounds good. But the word as, I have it circled in my Bible. Because God's saying they approach me, they come after me, they look for me as if they're right with me. They approach me, they want me, they desire, they draw nigh me with their mouth. But yet their hearts are really far from me. Look what he says here. It says in verse 3, Wherefore have we fasted, say they, and thou seest not. Wherefore, that means why, have we afflicted our soul, and thou, you, God, take no knowledge. Behold, in the day of your fast, you find pleasure and exact all your labors. Behold, you fast for strife and for debate and to smite with the fist of wickedness. You shall not fast as you do this day to make your voice to be heard on high. Is it such a fast that I have chosen? A day for a man to afflict his soul? Is it to bow down his head as a bulrush? And to spread sackcloth and ashes under him? Will thou call this a fast, an acceptable day on the Lord? Is not this the fast that I've chosen? To loose the bands of the wickedness? To undo the heavy burdens? And to let the oppressed go free? And that ye break every yoke? Is it not to deal thy bread to the hungry? And that thou bring the poor that are cast into thy house? When thou seest the naked, that thou cover him, and that thou not hide thyself from thine own flesh, then shall thy light break forth as the morning, and thy health shall spring forth speedily, and thy righteousness shall go before thee. The glory of the Lord shall be thy reward. Then shall thou call, and the Lord shall answer. Thou shalt cry, and he shall say, here am I. Here I am. If thou take away from the midst of thee the yoke, the putting forth of the finger, and speaking vanity, and if you draw out the soul to the hungry, thy soul to the hungry, and satisfy the afflicted soul, then shall thy light rise in obscurity, and thy darkness be as the noonday, and the Lord shall guide thee continually, and satisfy thy soul in drought, and make fat thy bones, and thou shalt be like the watered garden, and like a spring of water, whose waters fail not. And they that shall be of thee shall build the old waste places. Thou shalt rise up the foundations of many generations, and thou shalt be called the repairer of the breach, the restorer of the paths to dwell in. And I'm going to stop right there, because the next verses actually have to do with church and coming to church and keeping the Sabbath holy. It's very, very important. The reason I read all that, go back and read it yourself. It might be a little complicated, because I know sometimes when somebody's reading, you're sitting there, you're like, uh-huh. But it didn't get through. Go back and read it and let it get through. And what he's saying is the people were praying. The people were fasting. The people were wearing sackcloth and ashes. The people were crying out to God. They wanted God to hear them. They delighted, tell us what to do. And I'm like, that sounds like me. And then God says, why are you doing all this when you won't even do, you want to get a hold of me and you're doing these works of prayer, but yet you're not doing what I told you to do in the first place. And that's the whole thing, is about prayer is a union with God. It's a communion with God. And therefore, we've got to get in union, in communion. We've got to get in line with God even when we pray. Because how, it says, the Bible says, he will not hear our prayers if we regard iniquity in our hearts. And in what he told the people of Israel to do was to take care of the poor and the people that are needy, to take care of them. In the New Testament, we're not told to do that, even though it's still there to do that. In the New Testament, we're told to care about people's souls. See, Israel was all about the land and the bodies. That's why their covenant was on the flesh. Our covenant's in the heart, in the soul, and we're supposed to care about people's souls. We're supposed to care about people going to hell forever and ever and ever and ever. We're supposed to care about the people that are lost, amen? And here we're supposed to get out the gospel to every creature. We're supposed to be witnessing everywhere. That's our jobs, our purpose, and yet we come to God in prayer, and he must be saying the same things to us. Why are you fasting? I'm not listening. Why are you hanging your head? Why are you doing this? Why are you doing this? He says, when you won't even do the very first thing I told you to do, you won't even do that. And here I'm telling you right now, none of our prayers are ever going to be effective, are ever going to be effective until we start caring about souls. Amen. That's the number one thing. We got to care about souls. That's what we're commanded to do. And it's not about feeding the poor. Feeding the poor is good, but the poor people still go to hell. What good is it? It's like I saw a little picture and a little thing about Mother Teresa. And it showed all these poor little Indian children. And it was a sad sight. And you saw them, and they had tattered clothes on and stuff. And underneath it was a little thing. And they said, yes, she fed me with food, but she never gave me the gospel. And it's like, what good is being nice and kind and giving people stuff that other people look at and say, oh, you feed the poor and you go to the homeless, oh, you're a good guy. See, that's the hypocrites. That's the hypocrites that want to be seen. They want people to know, well, we feed the poor, we take care of people, you know, we give them food and we give them, that's all nice, that's nice. Amen? That isn't what God requires. He requires his church to do the same thing Jesus did, is to witness to them and give them a chance to have eternal life. We've got to understand that there's nothing more important to God inside of us than the witness of Jesus Christ inside of us. We've got to be witnesses. That's the most important thing. I would be justified to say God will not hear your prayers until you start talking about his son. Didn't he say, confess me before men? And I'll confess you before my Father. Didn't he say, confess me before men? I'll confess you before the angels. He said, if you deny me, I'll deny you. Just take it that in prayer, being denied in prayer. Oh, it's him again. Do you ever, you know, on your phone, you get the phone call, the ring, you see it, and some people just decline, and the other person on the other line knows, they just shut me off. They just press decline. You know, if you just turn the ringer off, it rings through, and they don't know whether you heard him or not. A lot of times I do that because I don't want to be ignorant, but I can't answer it. I can't answer it. So I instead of just cutting it off, you know, I'm talking to someone, I'm in a meeting or something, and all of a sudden the phones ring. I'm like, I don't know what to do with it. So I just press it and it's silent. Just, and that way they can leave a message and I can get back to them. So if you want to call me, just leave a message. I'll call you back eventually anyway, as long as I don't forget it. Sometimes I get a message and don't see it again for like a week later. I'm like, oh no. But the truth of the matter is denied. Imagine your prayers, like God, it's like that phone call. Oh, him again, denied. You know, him again, denied. All because we won't do the first thing we're commanded to do is be a witness of him, to share the gospel with every single creature. That is giving sight to the blind. That is giving hope to the hopeless. That is giving food to the hungry. That is giving clothes to the naked. That is giving everything you can ever give. Amen? And that's what we need to do more than anything else. Let me see what time it is. Okay, good. If you would, please, turn to Matthew chapter 15. I told you, prayer is simple yet complicated. You there in Matthew 15? Good. Look with me at verse 22, please. Matthew 15, 22 says this. And behold, a woman of Canaan came out of the same coast and cried unto him, saying, have mercy on me, O Lord, thou son of David. My daughter is grievously vexed with a devil. Now, get the whole thing. She came from a faraway place. She literally came far, took a long journey, probably on foot, and she did this for her daughter. She did this because her daughter needed help. But yet she followed and she found Jesus. And actually, another portion says he was trying to hide at this time. He was in a house trying to hide, get away from people. He just wouldn't need to get away, amen? And yet she finds him, and look what it says. It says, a woman of Canaan came out of the same coast and cried on him, saying, have mercy on me, O Lord, thou son of David. My daughter is grievously vexed with the devil. But he answered her not a word. He wouldn't even answer her. And his disciples came and besought him, saying, send her away, for she cries after us. She wouldn't stop. She kept saying the same things. And she was denied. She was ignored. The button was taken off every time she cried. Jesus just ignored her. But she kept crying after him. And the disciples said, Lord, will you tell her to go home? She's really bothering us. And it says here, in verse 24, but he answered and said, I am not sent but unto the lost sheep of the house of Israel. Then came she and worshipped him, saying, Lord, help me. But he answered and said, it is not meet. That means not good. It's not right to take the children's bread and cast it to who? Dogs. I know many of you know the story, but in case you don't know the story, get the gist of it. This woman is serious. You know, she needs Jesus. She wants Jesus to help, not even for her, for her daughter. She comes out of the coast. He denies her. He ignores her. And she just keeps coming. And then even the disciples are like, will you get her out of here? I'm sure they must have said to her, stop, woman, stop. And she wouldn't listen to them. That's why they went to him and said, will you tell her? I mean, just think about how many times she was probably denied. And then finally she fell at his feet and worshiped and said, Lord, help me. And he said, it's not right that I should give you the children's meat. You're a dog. You're just a dog. Now, does that sound like the Jesus you know? It sounds like the Jesus I know, because I know him. Because he's proving a point. He always tells us the truth. That's all Jesus does. He tells us the truth. The woman was a dog. The woman was a Gentile. She worshipped other gods. She was wicked as sin. But yet, in her heart, lots of idolatry, lots of other wickedness too. But because of that, she was not part of the covenants of Israel. She had nothing to do with the true and one and righteous and holy God. And that's why he would said no. And then he called her a dog. But it was what happened afterwards that changed everything. She said, yes, Lord. He said, you're a dog. You don't deserve this stuff that I have. This is for the children of Israel. And she said, yes, Lord. I am a dog. But at least dogs get crumbs that fall from the master's table. And that saying, he went, you got it. Because of your faith, your daughter's healed. And that impressed him, because that's what happens is I know people that get angry at God because they think he's not answering my prayer. Why didn't God give me this? How come God didn't do that? I'm like, how childish are you? And if you call them a child, they get mad. Or if you call them a sinner, they get mad. Or if you tell them that they're not born again, they get mad. Or if you tell them, you know, you're smoking, you're drinking, you're gambling, you're whoring, you're doing this, and they get mad. And I'm like, I want God to hear your prayers, and God's telling you, calling you a sinner. Why? And why should he hear your prayer? There's only one prayer God's going to hear a sinner pray. You know what that is? Lord, forgive me, save me. Save me, Jesus. He'll hear that prayer in a second. Amen. My point to all this is that prayer is more complicated than you think. And I want our prayers, I want us to understand all this stuff. And we'll finish with this one. Look in Hebrews chapter 11. And we'll finish with this. It's one of my favorite verses in all the Bible. Y'all there? Hebrews 11, y'all there? Look in verse 6. It says, but without faith, it's impossible to please him. Without faith, it's impossible to please God. Look what it says. For he that cometh to God, that's prayer, must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. Y'all, we all ought to memorize that verse. Without faith, it's impossible to please him. Prayer has to be prayed in faith. Prayer has got to be done in faith. And that's why the whole verse, what that woman did is she believed. She didn't believe that he was the Messiah. She didn't believe that he was the Son of God. She didn't understand all that. She called him Son of David. So she knew from other people talking, because she obviously didn't meet him before, she knew that there's someone here, that's been prophesied to be the one. And so just because of that, she came and she believed that he was the one. And guess what? He was the one. And because she didn't give up. She didn't give up. And then she took her medicine like every one of us have to do. If you want to get a prayer through, how many people want to have my prayers heard? Well, sometimes you're going to have to hear the answer from God. Sometimes you're going to hear God say, no, you're wicked. Or no, your heart's evil. Or no, you're not even really a Christian. You're not really saved. Or no, you're a liar. Or no, you're deceitful. Or no, you know what I mean? We have to be prepared for whatever the Holy Spirit says to us. And then how we respond, yes, Lord, you're absolutely correct. You know what I mean? That's all we have to do. But look what it says, and then we'll finish. But without faith, it is impossible to please God. So when you pray, you have to have faith. You have to believe. But look, it says, for he that comes to God must believe that he is what? And I'm not going to stay long, but he's what? He's able. He's able exceedingly and abundantly to do all and above all that we've ever asked or even think. One of them. All of them. Yeah, thunk it. Whatever we thunk. Yeah, whatever we thought, whatever it is, all of them things together. But the thing is that he is. God is the only one who is able to do whatever it is you need him to do. Whatever it is, I don't care what the most lost person in the world, God can save them. God can turn them around. At least God will try, right? Amen. He won't make them believe, but he'll bring them to every little corner, every little crevice. He'll put them in a hospital, put them in a matter of fact, doesn't really matter if the person looks near death as long as the person gets saved. Amen. Just keep praying. And it says, I love this part, and he is a rewarder. He will reward you of them that diligently. And I say this all the time because it was one of those things that you learn and you never forget. In the dictionary, one of the things it said diligent means is rising early in the morning with painstakingness, seeking that which you desire. And I have more things. We'll get into that next week, but never quit. Never quit praying. And just what do you do is whatever praying you're doing, enhance it. Make your prayer life better. Make it have more faith. Make it have more passion, more power, because we know that the effectual, fervent prayers of a righteous man availeth much. Amen. Let's bow our heads for a word of prayer. Father, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, we come to you in his name, for we have nothing to bring. We are nothing, we have nothing, but you are all. You are all. You have everything. You are everything. And we stand here before you, Lord, empty, poor, and needy. And we ask you to fill us with yourself, Fill us with the truth of the Word of God. Fill us with the Spirit of the living God. Fill us and put us with the blood of Jesus. Help us have communion with you. We are your vessels. Empty us of ourselves and fill us with you. And use us, I pray, to be what you want us to be witnesses of you, to get out the gospel message to every creature, Lord. Bless this place. Put your angels guard about it, Lord. Help each and every soul to sing in the service ahead. Sing to sing and sing, to praise and praise, to pray and pray, Lord God. And give us ears to hear the message ahead. Help us to bring people, to contact people, to bring people into the house of the Lord, that it may be full. We love you, Lord. We thank you, Lord. Please now, I pray, meet all the needs of your people. Hear our prayers, I pray, in Jesus' name, amen.